morning. Well, that wasn't bad for as hot as it is this morning. You actually sound kind of energetic. In case you're wondering, the decorations up here are from Bible school. We zipped out of conference week and right into Bible school week. So I was privileged to be here for some of that, that I know a lot of you were too. The kids are a real joy to watch. So welcome to Little Swatara this morning. I know you don't usually see me up here, but on the way up, I was informed that my wife has a cold and my daughter didn't feel like it. So, do we have any announcements this morning? Oh, behind me.
An invitation, if there is anyone interested in joining us at the Lozers Music Workshop on July 27th, I need to send the registration in. You can either see me or Diane High today yet. Let us know and we'll send the registration in. It's July 27th from 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. It's broken up into two sessions and we sing all day long. We learn lots of new music and we just have a great time together. So if you'd like to join the fellowship with us, please do.
And I believe Sandy has a few words to say about the Bible school.
It's over. No, we did have a fun week. We had a lot of great helpers and teachers and other people that I called at the last minute, and everybody's been enjoying cupcakes. I think Pastor Bob stole another one. But we did have a great week, and the kids seem to have a great time. The games, the singing, the class, the teaching. It was just a fun week, and thank everybody for that did participate and help. And the offering this year that we did, Sue couldn't be here today, it's going to Kobe's. We stayed local this year. Every other year we try and do local, and this year we did Kobe's, and they won a game. So we got lots of games, and they also, I guess they have a pool there, but we got beach towels, and we got onesies and some toys for them, and some more toys will be leaving tomorrow. Sue and I are going to be taking them down to Kobe's tomorrow. And this is also the mission for the month with the Mission and Service Commission. So if you want to donate to that, what we will do with that money will be just given to them to buy the extra things yet that they would need. But we had a great week, a lot of great helpers, and Jeremy got his coffee. First year, coffee was introduced, but then I heard Mike Peace also got coffee last year already that nobody knew about. But a lot of teachers had coffee this year, thanks to Jeremy. Thank you.
Is there anyone else before we move on to a time of prayer concerns? All right, well, we can move on to prayer concerns. I will give you the update on my dad. We've been telling people that he has bottomed out right on schedule. They told him that day 6 or 7 would be the worst of his chemotherapy treatment, and that hit yesterday. So we have not been down to see him since Wednesday because they told us not to. At this point, his immunity level is really low, and blood counts are really low, but the good thing is that it hit right on the schedule that they expected. So we appreciate all your prayers and your continued support for that. Is there anyone else? Two over there.
My sister, Karen Payone, please lift her up in prayer this week. On Wednesday, she has to go through rotator cuff surgery. I guess it runs in the family, you know, so I'm going up to be with her for about 3 or 4 days to help her out.
Matt and I are asking for prayers for the Leonard family. It would be Matt's uncle's family. One of his cousin's daughter got an infection, and she went to the hospital. The infection went into her heart, and she passed away just this past weekend. She was about 30, and she leaves behind 2 children.
It's not in the list in the bulletin, but I'd like to lift up the family of Marlon Bayshore. That would be Janet Krauss Bayshore's husband died. The viewing is this evening from 6 to 8 at the Kirchhoff Funeral Home in in Burnville. So somehow that got missed.
Well, while he's wandering down through there, Karen, I was distracting Bob when you gave yours. So what was that one again?
Leonard Family.
Leonard Family. All right, if we could keep those prayer concerns in mind for our morning prayer a little bit later in the service. I skipped ahead here. Pastor Bob has some reflections. Are you going to cram a whole year as moderator into 3 minutes? Okay, good. So Bob has some reflections from conference.
Well, actually, because we had so many, there were 28 of us from this congregation who were at annual conference this year, and I thought maybe you would like to have an opportunity to share a reflection or two. But to kick this off, some of our kids sang in the choir there, and they learned this really cool song. And so we want to teach you this song. So if you could come forward, those of you who are in the Children's Conference Choir, and we'll have you, I guess, stand back here. Yeah, maybe help me move this back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then we'll move the microphone forward. As you can tell, they are just so eager to do this.
One of the songs the kids learned was called Fruits of the Spirit, and I know anyone who was in Jubilee Choir this past year, we worked on it a little bit, so you may know it, but Bob has asked us to teach you the chorus, and then the kids are going to sing. I think we picked about 6 fruits to do. So the chorus goes, you guys want to help me? There is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's do it one more time, okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, so how about I go down and make do the motions, and you guys can sing out nice and loud, right? Yeah?
Maybe.
Yeah. I got a maybe.
You're welcome.
Oh, the fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. Fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be fruit of the Spirit, cause fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruits are love, joy, peace, patience. Spirit, cause the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Thank you. That was fun. How many were in that choir? 70, 60, 80?
At least 60.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was fun. Well, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be the moderator this past year. It was a big sacrifice on your part. It meant that you didn't have a full-time pastor for some periods of time when I was out traveling, and wanted to say thank you. And just your generosity in allowing me to do that was really wonderful. And then at conference itself, I was overwhelmed by a gift that you gave to me. And I say a gift that you gave to me because probably some of you aren't even aware that you gave me this gift, because this was a decision of the leadership team. A couple of months ago, I was asked to leave the leadership team meeting, wasn't given any explanation as to why I was asked to leave. And I have surmised since then that it was to talk about what would be an appropriate gift to give me following my year as moderator of the church. And what you have given me is a custom-made guitar that Eric Bashore, who's now a professional luthier, that's what you call a guitar maker, professional luthier, is going to be making this guitar for me. I was overwhelmed by that gift. You know me well enough by now to know that there aren't many times when I'm speechless. That was one of the few times that I've been speechless in the past 4 years that we've been together. It was just such a wonderful, wonderful gift. So I just wanted to say thank you to you for that. A piece of the walnut, you know, that we made those 3,500 crosses. By the way, we took 3,000 crosses with us, and I was given what was remaining at the end of conference. I was given a little bag with 6 crosses in it. And so nearly 3,000 of them were taken, not because there were 3,000 attenders, but people through the week said, boy, I have a friend in Idaho, or I have a friend, you know, wherever, who would love one of these crosses who couldn't be at conference. You think I could take one? So in addition to those that were taken at the conclusion of the Saturday evening service, many hundreds of others were taken as well. And so thanks again to those of you who helped make that a reality. So you're a pretty wonderful group of people. And it is my privilege to once again be home and serve as your pastor. Thanks. I think we can continue with the service now, Mark.
All right. Whoa. If you could join me with the words of faith as printed in your bulletin or eventually up on the screen. There we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men and women. And we're going to have a time of singing.
I invite you to stand and join in singing hymn number 68, O Come Loud Anthems, Let Us Sing. We'll do verses 1 and 2. 68. me in hymn number 87, Great is the Lord. Be the glory, verses 1 and 3, page 102, to God be the glory.
Be seated and let's pray together. I want to begin with a verse that we looked at in Sunday school today from Philippians chapter 1, where I echo this statement of Paul's. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for these brothers and sisters and their faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you have put a song in our hearts. And when we come together and sing that song together, even if some of us are a little off key, it's still beautiful music because we're able to sing this song together. I pray that you'd help us to be more expressive in the thanksgiving that we feel for one another. Lord, we live in a culture where we don't want anybody to get a big head, as my mom used to say, and so we don't go out of our way to tell them what wonderful to say to one another what wonderful people we are. But God, help us to overcome that prohibition that we have of expressing our thanks and our gratitude, and just go out of our way to let each other know how much we appreciate one another. We're grateful that we can come together and pray for one another, that we believe that where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, there you're in our midst, and you're hearing our prayers, and you're responding to our prayers. And there have been a number of prayer requests that have been made this morning, and I was busy talking about the service and didn't catch all of them, but God, I'm sure that you have heard each of these prayer requests that have been lifted up this morning. And the ones that I remember are the Leonard family, Lord, that you would be with them. And Lord, also with the family of Janet Krause Bayshore, that you would be with that family. And we're grateful for the ways that you've been with Carl and Jean Myers during Carl's hospitalization. And pray that you would continue to be with Carl and with Jean to bring healing and strengthening to them both. And I was so delighted this morning when I came into the early service and saw Tim Reinhart walk in this morning under his own strength after having most of his left foot cut away. He only has his big toe left, and yet he walked in without crutches or a walker this morning. And it just was such a blessing to see him here this morning. And it's a blessing to be back home again with my brothers and sisters here who are part of the Little Swatara congregation. So grateful for the generosity of this congregation that has been expressed in a number of ways. Lord, my heart is filled with gratitude this morning. Thank you. We want to say thank you to you for your faithfulness. For great is your faithfulness. And as we just sang, to God be the glory, great things you have done. So we express our thanksgiving in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. And then there's one more prayer that I forgot. Lord, thank you for this week of Vacation Bible School and for the 60 workers that made this week a special week among the children who came. I know my own grandchildren, 7 of them, couldn't wait every morning to get here to see what new was planned. And there were those who carved cowboy boots and who made pot holders and who iced cupcakes, hundreds of them, and who did so many other things, planned weddings and led singing and just took care of every detail. Thank you for the many. We give thanks for for Sheriff Sandy and her deputies who worked so hard to make this a great event in the life of this church and in the life of this community this week. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Join me for hymn number 105.
So as Bob mentioned in the prayer, it was a joy this week to be here for Bible school, to see the children, the fun and the enthusiasm and the joy with which they worship. The children bring dimes and dollars and what they can, and small gifts from these children over the course of the week add up to that for Kobe's. So may we give today in that spirit, if you would pray with me. Dear Lord, motivate our hearts to action, so that we return a portion of our abundance to you as a holy sacrifice. And we ask that what we give be multiplied and used to your glory. Amen.
Thank you.
I like that one. Our God is an awesome, awesome God. Second scripture reading for this morning is from Mark 1, 14 and 15. It looks like I picked a good morning to do this because there's only two verses. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news.
Mark tells us that Jesus went into Galilee preaching this message. The time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news, believe in the gospel. Actually, Jesus was the message. Jesus didn't just talk the talk, he walked the talk. And if you follow the account of Jesus' life through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see that all of these values were reflected in his life. Jesus didn't just share this message with his lips. Jesus lived this message with his hands and feet. For instance, when it comes to this conversation about time, Jesus lived his life with a sense of urgency, that he realized that his days were limited, that he only had so many days in order to live out his life. And he wanted to live all of the days that he had serving his God. Actually, the word that he used when Jesus said, the time has come, he didn't use the word chronos, which is, you know, chronological. Our word chronological comes from the Greek word chronos. And chronological time is days, hours, minutes, seconds. It's the way you and I typically measure time. If you're looking at your watch right now, you're hoping that we are on the same time schedule so that we can get out the time that we think is the right time to get out. That was not Jesus' approach to time. And of course, I want to be like Jesus. He used the word kairos, which is a different sense of time. It means God's time. And Jesus wanted to live in God's time, with God's sense of time. The psalmist wrote, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, which day is that day? Well, it's every day. And so there's this sense of timing that Jesus had, that every day is the time, the kairos time of God to live out. And because of that, Jesus, rather than measuring time in days and hours and minutes and seconds, Jesus saw time as something that he could give. In fact, someone has said, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And many of us live under the pressure of not seeming to have enough time to do the things that we would really like to do. From time to time, we'll think about, oh, so-and-so, yeah, oh my goodness, boy, I haven't seen her in a long time. I need to go and visit her. But we're under the pressure of not having enough time because we're so busy. Well, Jesus lived in a way where he made time, because he lived with a sense of kairos rather than a sense of chronos. He made time to give his time to those who needed it. So when some little children came and sat on his lap, and the disciples became indignant because they knew that Jesus didn't have time for these dirty little children, Jesus said, "Do not forbid the little children from coming to me, for of such belongs the kingdom of God." Or when the disciples took time to go in and buy some food, Jesus didn't go with them. He hung out at that Samaritan well and waited until a woman came by, and he gave her some of his time. The disciples came back with food. They wanted Jesus to take time to eat, but he said, "No, I don't have time to eat. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Or there was the time when Jesus was passing through this village and he was very popular. This was during the first year of his ministry. Word had gotten around that he was this great miracle worker, and literally thousands of people would break their necks just to catch a sight of Jesus. And there were these two blind men who came out. They were there before the crowd showed up. You know how those people go to the 4th of July parade and they bring their folding chairs an hour before the parade begins so they can have a choice spot. Well, that's what those two blind men did, but the crowds came and got in front of them, and so they just cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And the crowd said, "Hey, be quiet. He doesn't have time for you." But Jesus heard their cry, and he made time for them. The message that Jesus brought, the message that Jesus lived, is that we must have time for those who are hurting, for those who are hungry, for those who are blind, for those who are lonely. For they, he said in another one of his parables, are the least of these, my brothers and my sisters. And so part of the message that Jesus brought to us and that Jesus lived out himself is that the kind of time that we're called to live out is not chronos, but kairos, to capture each moment that we have to offer time to those who need our help. Jesus said, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom. He said, and you know some of these. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Yeah. That the kingdom of God takes top priority. The disciples wanted Jesus to teach them how to pray because Jesus was such a man of prayer. And so they came to him and they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And Jesus taught them to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." If you read through the Gospels, Jesus was always talking about the kingdom, that the kingdom is in our midst. The kingdom is not some geographical location that we need to go to. And in our religious thinking, we have typically, thought of, well, we Jews and Christians think of Jerusalem as the place where God is most present. If you're Muslim, you think of Mecca as the place at the, what is it called, the Kaaba or something like that, that rock that's there where when you go to Hajj, make a pilgrimage to Mecca, you circle around the I think it's called the Kaaba. It's just a big black rock. And in part of our religious traditions is to have a place that we think of when we think of the place of God. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is near. It's in your midst." And what Jesus is calling us to is to live under the reign of God wherever we are. That the kingdom isn't a place, the kingdom is a lifestyle, that we're called to seek first the kingdom, that we're called to pray and live on earth as God's kingdom work and will is done on heaven. I was, Tessa Gerbrick was in the service, the earlier service this morning, and she's going to live in one of our favorite places in the world, Jos, Nigeria. And I was talking about the difference in the culture, in the African culture and the American culture, even though, they are flesh and blood people and we are flesh and blood people, and even though they need to sleep and we need to sleep and they need to eat and we need to eat, there are such enormous cultural differences. For instance, in Nigerian culture, it is not at all uncommon to see two men walking down the street in public holding hands with one another. And in our culture, we would be scandalized by that kind of sight because we would assume that, those are persons who have a sexuality that that some of us find offensive. But there are no sexual connotations with men holding hands in that culture. It's not sexual at all. It's a way of expressing friendship and fellowship. In fact, what is forbidden in that Islamic culture is for a man and a woman to hold hands going down the street. That's considered to be rude, and that is considered a public display of sexuality. And so it's just exactly the opposite of how we have it in our culture. In Nigerian culture, if you wanna have a meal together with Nigerians the way they prefer to share a meal together, they'll bring it a metal tray of food, put it on the floor, and everybody will sit around it and eat with their hands. Now, when I was a child and I picked up food off of the tray with my hands, my mother would smack my fingers, because in our culture, that's forbidden. There's so many others. In Nigerian culture, a woman cannot have her head higher than a man's head. And so when I would drive my motorcycle through these little villages, there'd be some slight woman carrying a 50-pound sack of guinea corn on her head, and when I came by, because I was a man, she would need to bow with this 100-pound sack on my head. I had a motorcycle accident while I was over there, and I was flat on my back for about 2 weeks. And many of the women from my village came to greet me, but because I couldn't sit up or stand up because I had a leg injury, my head was on a pillow, and they would literally crawl in on the floor to greet me so that their head would not be above my head. And I pleaded with them. I said, please, this for me is, it's a humiliating experience for me. Please, please rise. But they couldn't do it, because culturally that is forbidden in that culture. So even we within the human family have such huge differences between our cultures. Think of how different the culture of the kingdom is. God says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So you see, brothers and sisters, when we seek first the kingdom of God, when we live and pray that God's kingdom will come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are praying to live in a way that is radically different from the kingdoms and the cultures of this world. Are you ready for that? Now, I brought a cupcake to illustrate, and don't worry, it won't go to waste if you're worried that somehow this cupcake will be discarded after the sermon. I assure you, it will not. So be at ease. Anybody know how many of these were made? A couple hundred, I would guess. At least 200. These cupcakes, I made the mistake. I'm not a farmer, I'm sorry. I thought it was a pig cupcake. It's a cow. I was corrected, but I saw the little pink snout and I thought it was a pig snout, but it's actually a not a Guernsey, but what's the other one? Holstein. Yeah, I just got lectured on jerseys and I'm all mixed up right now. It is a Holstein cow with a white face, and it's got little Oreo cookies as ears, and it's got chocolate morsels for eyes, and even tinier chocolate morsels for its nose, and it's got little, I don't know, Tic Tacs or jelly beans or something for its... Now, here's the illustration. A lot of times, we think that kingdom living is about taking this religious decoration and spreading it out on our lives, kind of like the way they did these lovely cupcakes. You take kind of a plain, bland cupcake, and you dress it up by putting some nice icing on it. And that, for thousands of years, that has been our approach to religion. We take our normal everyday lives. We don't want to change much about our lives. I mean, even though they're chocolate or vanilla, and that's not too exciting, at least we can live with that. But to kind of dress it up, we take some nice icing and sort of put a kind of a decoration on it. And that's what the religious life looks like for many over the past thousands of years. And that's where many of our rituals come from, our religious rituals. It's a way of taking our normal everyday lives and kind of dressing them up, maybe making them more acceptable to our God by dressing them up a bit, putting some nice icing on them. But Jesus is not talking about kingdom life as taking religion and kind of smearing it on normal life so that for the most part, 6 days a week, life is normal, and then one day a week we come and we kind of put this nice icing on it and we have this religious part of our life. That's not at all what Jesus meant when he said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. What Jesus is saying is that you and I are, Jesus is calling us to a kingdom lifestyle. And if you read the Gospels, you find that Jesus lived a kingdom lifestyle. And that got him in a lot of trouble with people in power during his days because he did things that were unusual. He hung out with sinners and tax collectors. And there were those who found that rather threatening. A woman caught in adultery was brought to him so that he could participate in the stoning. And he refused to participate in the stoning. He said, let him who has not sinned cast the first stone. Jesus, in every way, was a counter-cultural figure. And we see that in his life. We see that in the message that he preached everywhere he went. And it's, folks, it's the message that is called to be incarnated in our lives, lived out in our lives, that we are called to live out the kingdom culture here on earth. Not just take some nice religious icing and put it on the cupcake of our lives, but live out fully for the kingdom, attempting by God's grace to live into his ways and his words. Jesus said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, now those are the realities that we live in. So what do? Well, Jesus says there are two ways that you and I need to respond to the time and the kingdom. First, we need to repent. Now, we have developed this sort of Christian cultural understanding of what repentance is. And repentance, we believe, is simply being sorrowful about our sins. And so depending on the church that you were raised in, some churches, you know, have an altar call every Sunday. Others work at calling people to commitment in a variety of different ways. But all of us who consider ourselves Christians have come to a point in our lives when we've recognized that there are parts of our lives that are out of sync with God. Things in our lives that contradict the ways of God. And all of us who are Christians have come to a point where we don't feel good about that. We don't feel good about the fact that there are parts of our lives that are out of sync with God. And we feel bad about that. And some of us have even wept real tears over those parts of our lives that are out of sync with the ways of our God. And then we've come to a moment of repentance where we've said, God, you know, man, my life is a mess. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that for the ways that I think and the things that I do and the things that I say. And we have that moment of repentance where we kind of clean the slate, and then we go on again with our vanilla or chocolate cupcake lives, you know, having put a bit of new religious icing on our lives. Jesus didn't view repentance as a moment in history. Because remember, we're not talking about chronos time, where there's this point in history where I repent of my sin and I accept Christ as my personal Savior, and then everything is okay after that. No, it's a lifestyle of understanding how far we are in our flesh from God's desire for, you know, listen, God has such great desires for our lives. Occasionally, I get a glimpse of it and I think, oh my goodness, I can't even imagine the glory of our God. I can't even imagine what God, in fact, Paul had that one statement where he said, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard the things that God has in store for those who love Him. We can't even imagine. And so we're called to live this lifestyle where we're continually making ourselves aware of the parts of our lives that are falling short of the glory of God, so that we can press into our God, understanding that God is constantly there to embrace us. That the most accurate picture of the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us is the prodigal's father. You know, the prodigal took his birthright. He went away. He lived a wild life, and then when he didn't have anything left, he wanted to return to his father, and he said, you know, it would be better to be, my life would be better off if I was one of Dad's slaves. And he went back practicing this confession that he was going to make. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He was hoping that his father would at least let him be one of his slaves. And his father spent every day of his life, since the day that his son left, he spent every day looking to the horizon, waiting, hoping against hope that his son would one day return. And one day, his son finally returned. And the son was so busy rehearsing this speech that he's going to make to his dad, pleading for his father's forgiveness, that he didn't notice his father running toward him. He embraced his son. He said, you were dead, but now you're alive. We're going to have a party. And that, I believe, is the most accurate picture of the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us. Willing to look beyond the inadequacy in our lives, the flaws in our lives, the words and the attitudes and the actions that we don't even want to remember. We have a God who looks beyond that and is waiting for an opportunity to embrace us. Jesus came preaching and living a message that said, the time is here. This is the day that the Lord has made. Now is the day of salvation. This is Kairos time, folks. You and I are living in a Kairos moment right now. The kingdom of God is near. You don't have to go one quarter of an inch further to experience kingdom values, because the kingdom is in our midst. We're called to turn away from former things. And finally, believe, 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 believe in the goodness of our God. I want to encourage you today to believe the good news that God is for you and not against you, that God loves you and is willing to make enormous sacrifices because of that love that our God has for each of us. Are you willing to believe that? Maybe you can't see it. Sometimes, you know, there have been times in my life when I've messed up so badly, when the hardest work for me was being able to forgive myself. There have been times when Chris probably remembers the time when he pushed that attic window out because I was fixing it and didn't have the hinges back on it. And Chris went up into the attic and opened the windows, and they fell out 3 stories down to the concrete below. And I said, Chris! and said some other things that I regretted for days after, and long after Chris forgave me. You forgave me, right? He doesn't even remember it. Man, I lived with what I said in that moment of rage when I, as a good Pennsylvania Dutchman, saw this window that I was going to have to replace. And so often we worry about the windows that we have to replace rather than the relationships that we need to fix. Listen, we have a God who is standing right on the highway where you're headed right now, just longing for an opportunity to throw his arms around you, to throw a party for you. The time has come. That time is now. The kingdom of God is near. Turn away. Continue to turn away from that old stuff that you don't want to be a part of anyway. And believe in the good news of God's mercy, God's love, God's grace. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for this Kairos moment. You are here with us. Your grace is so near, we can taste it. Your forgiveness is so available that we can reach out and take it. Your goodness is so near, we can taste it. As the psalmist wrote, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Help us to realize what time it is, that the kingdom is near, that all we need to do is turn away from the course that we've been on, the course of this world, and turn to you and walk with you and allow ourselves to be used as the living sermon that you want to preach to all of those around us. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Let's rise to our feet, turn to our closing hymn. Pam, come over here. I want to hold your hand, and I want to invite you to take a hand of someone next to you. Just got a phone call. Mark just got a phone call from Jean that Carl has just gone in. Carl Myers, who is in Thomas Jefferson Hospital for stem cell replacement therapy, has just gone in for a CAT scan. They're concerned that there might be an infection that is set in. And Gene just called and asked if we could have some special prayer for him. And so if we could do that, come on over. In fact, let's come over and take hands. We remember, Jesus' encounter with that man who wanted his son to be healed. And he said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And then Jesus went on to say that faith, even the size of a mustard seed, can move mountains. And so I happen to believe that we got way more than mustard seed amount of faith here this morning. And so we want to lift up our brother in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that it's been so timely that we've gotten this prayer concern now when we're still together and when we can intercede on behalf of our brother Carl. Lord, you know how much we love him. And Father, we know that you love him even more. And so we know that we're not asking you to do anything that is outside of your scope or outside of the love that you have for him and the grace that you have for him. And so we pray in Jesus' name that we're hoping that there is no infection setting in. But if there is, we pray that you would come against the infection in Jesus' name. Jesus, you've said, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. And we're going to ask that just like little children who keep asking and asking until they get what they're asking their mom and dad to give them. And so you're our Father in heaven. And so we come to you as children. You've said, of such belongs the kingdom of heaven. We come to you as your children and we ask that if there's infection, that you would rid his body of any infection. We ask that as your children. We pray that you'd bring healing and wholeness to his body. And we pray that you would bring him through this stem cell treatment and that this multiple myeloma will be reversed and that he will have and experience your saving health. We ask this in Jesus' name. And in agreement, we all say together, amen. Amen. God bless you.